Welcome, everybody, to episode 357 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, June 19, 2019. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Malcolm Peralti, not J-Trip, because he's on his way, or he should already be in Berlin, Germany for WordCamp EU. Malcolm, my good friend, how you doing, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. A bit of a reunion here with you and me hosting WordPress Weekly yet again. It seems like it was inevitable.
Yeah, anytime he wants to go away and do something else, I'll be here for you. No problem.
Thank you. I can always count on you, Malcolm. J-Trip, you're out, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. just keep the seat nice and warm. We got a lot of things to get to today. This is sort of the pregame show of WordCamp EU that starts tomorrow. You know, I just remembered on my iPhone, you can add different world clocks. So I just... Today, it just finally struck me that I could add a world clock for Berlin. And right now, so we do this show at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And in Berlin, it is 9.04 p.m. So they're ahead by 6 hours. So I have to keep that in mind when I'm wanting to watch one of the sessions during the live stream.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people that I probably won't catch any of the live streams. I'll wait for it to be on, like, WordPress.tv or whatever. WordPress.
That's probably the same way, the same thing to do. But as what I've done the past 2 years since the usually Matt session, whether it's the Q&A, but I think it's more of like a town hall type discussion that he's doing at WordCamp EU this year. It'll be early in the morning, so I'll go stop. I'll go get some breakfast. I'll come back. I'll watch it outside. And although we're expecting a lot of rain, so I might not be able to do it this year. But usually it's very early in the morning, and I hate very early in the morning.
Me too. I am not good with early mornings. But, I mean, what can you do? 6 hours time difference.
That's right. So let's start off with we had a WordPress release, WordPress 5.2.2, which has been dubbed a short cycle maintenance release. This release squashes about 13 bugs. Improves upon the site health features that were introduced in 5.2. There's a couple notable things in this release, and that the update link in the customizer of multi-site installs has been removed because in those situations you cannot perform an update within the customizer. So they just ended up taking that link out. They've added a exit recovery mode button if you're in the responsive view of WordPress. So apparently if you're in a responsive view of WordPress before 5.2.2 and you're in recovery mode, you couldn't get out of it because there's no button to get out of there. And they also made a couple other changes as well. Congrats to JB Audris, Justin Anon, and Mary Baum for co-leading the release, and they also had some guidance from Executive Director Josepha Hayden, and 30 other people contributed to WordPress 5.2.2, and this was released 2 days prior to WordCamp EU, which is, it is a point release, so it shouldn't be, too many issues.
Yeah, I saw a couple of people, like, on Twitter and in other places, like, on some Facebook groups kind of complaining, like, so many, like, releases, so many updates, how can we keep up kind of thing, and I remember that used to be kind of a weird issue when every update meant that, you know, you could probably have like half a day trying to figure out why a plugin broke or a theme broke. But with these minor point releases, that hasn't been an issue for a very long time. So I say just update, be calm, enjoy the little bug fixes. Most of them won't apply to you anyways, but it's not a reason to avoid updating. It's a nothing. It's a nothing update.
And something we talked about that John and I talked about, basically, when we were discussing the acquisition Pantheon had with a recent company, I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but a lot of these managed WordPress hosting services now have some type of visual error checker, visual revision checker, where they'll actually apply the update to your website, check and see, do some type of visual testing to see if anything has changed. You get a white screen, and if it detects any problems, it'll automatically revert your site or report an error to you, but it won't automatically update you to the next version. So there's a lot of added peace of mind to a lot of the managed WordPress hosts out there.
Yeah, I mean, it for me, it makes sense that we want to see rapid releases for bug fixes, for security issues, for anything that comes up. I mean, at this point, if it's a point release like 5.2.3 or whatever, like just keep rolling those out because they in a lot of ways they don't affect very many people in a negative way. And the automated tool that for automatically updating is working without a hitch. Like I manage over 100 sites and you know they're all doing their thing today and last night and no issues reported so far.
Piece of cake. I bet you woke up, you checked your inbox and it said, you know, you got 100 different emails about this site upgraded.
Yeah, I did. And honestly, I was so worried at first that it was like a 5.3 release and that, you know, someone had like my co-founder had upgraded it and there's all these sites and we'd have to double check them all. And it's a whole process. Like when we had a major point release, I get kind of nervous because I have to test it on a staging site, make sure it all works. Right. And then, it's just the rollout of a major release takes a lot of time. But when I saw that it was another point release, I was much, much happier today.
So it looks like having XML sitemaps as a WordPress core feature is now a strong possibility. Developers at Google and Yoast have been collaborating with other contributors on a proposal to add XML sitemaps to WordPress core. Now, this capability has been traditionally handled by plugins, which provide a variety of implementations. But the goal of this new feature project is to ship basic XML sitemaps in core while providing a sitemaps API for plugin developers to extend. It would also update WordPress's robots.txt file to reference the sitemap index. So the article goes on here, and this is written by Sarah Gooding at WP Tavern and explains what the proposal is. You know, I was reading through this, and I was thinking back to the early days when I first discovered WordPress and when I was reading different types of tutorials about which plugins you should install immediately on WordPress. And one of them was an XML sitemap plugin. And I really didn't know at the time why I needed it, but I know now that it was to index the post on your site to make it easier for the Google bots, the search engine crawlers to more easily index your site. And all of your articles will get published into this XML sitemap. And I used an XML sitemap plugin for a long time. And eventually I think I just got rid of it. Like I didn't really understand why I needed it anymore. I just got rid of it from the tavern. I don't even know if we're using an XML sitemaps plugin right now, but it's nice to see that after 12, 13 years now that XML sitemaps could be coming to core. And in fact, after reading the proposal, Matt Mulloway is on board with this feature proposal and he's looking forward to having it added into WordPress.
Yeah, I'm always hesitant to see anything added to WordPress core. I mean, we already have plugins that solve these problems. Pretty much every SEO plugin that exists will automatically solve this problem. There are plugins specifically that add XML sitemaps. Google and a lot of other big search engines don't really need you to have this. I mean, you can't convince me that Google can't find and index a site without a sitemap. Like that isn't an issue. Like they do that all the time. They can crawl through websites and pick out the relevant information that they need. In terms of speeding up discoverability of sites, sure, maybe. I mean, you want to get a site discovered, get someone to link to it. That's a fast way to get a site discovered as well. So telling me that this has to be part of core, I don't really buy it. I would like to see kind of some more information on why they think it needs to be part of core, what the real lift is, what the real advantage is, and you know what this does for the average user. You know, if you don't care about sitemaps on your site, why should you be forced to have them?
Yeah, and if this does come to WordPress plugin authors who offer XML sitemaps, will actually need to re-architect their plugins with the new API in order to avoid conflicts and indexing errors. And you know, in terms of discoverability and trying to get discovery really quick, I think WordPress still ships with this feature. But remember back in the day when we would add all these different pinging services to the back end of WordPress, where every time you made a post, it pinged out to these services and said, hey, come on over, check it out. I just released new content. And then your content would be distributed across, I don't know, wherever those services would take your content to. But I wonder if is pinging even a thing anymore. I don't know. Every website has tons of Google bots all over it all the time.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And I think that that's a good point as well. And something that we definitely have kind of buried deep within WordPress that just doesn't seem to get any kind of attention or focus anymore. I don't know. I'm not excited about this at all. I want to see more information on why they think it should be added. I know Thierry. I worked with him for a little bit. Great guy, very smart guy. He was a very important developer at XWP when I had a short stint there. And, you know, I can get why Google would like every website to have this, but I don't really understand the reverse logic of why I, as a website manager, a website owner, should care about this.
Yeah, I guess I'm right there with you. But, you know, to those who it would benefit, congrats. Now, look, it's just a proposal, but there's a lot of people on board, so there's still that possibility. It may not get added to core, but
it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I want to send out a big, huge congratulations to Marcel Bootsman, who has completed his journey to WordCamp EU. I think he walked about 780 kilometers. He walked over 700 kilometers from his home across Europe to Berlin, Germany. It took him about 31, 32 days, including a little bit of an injury with his overloaded ankle, but managed to walk through the heat. And as he was approaching the Esrel Hotel in Berlin, he was greeted by family. In fact, in one of the images on Twitter, you could see behind him part of his family, and I think that's his son. And his son looks like he's in tears seeing his dad make his way to the hotel in Berlin. And Marcel is actually going to be giving a presentation on Saturday at 11:45. So if you get the chance, definitely check that out. And as someone commented on the Twitter thread, hopefully when he's on stage, someone provides him a chair. he's been standing up for a long time.
Yeah, and for your American listeners, that's over 400 miles that he did. I have no idea what a mile is, but I just did that conversion for Americans, because I know you guys don't necessarily think in kilometers. It's a long journey. I think if you added up how much I've walked in my life, I don't know if I've approached that number. So it's hats off to you, man. That is impressive.
That's right. And he did it as a means of raising awareness for a couple of different projects, one of them being Donate WC, which is a nonprofit organization aimed at providing those who may not have the necessary financial means of attending a WordCamp, that you can register with that organization or apply for a scholarship, a monetary scholarship that would pay for your travels and your accommodations and stuff. Really cool organization. There's still time to donate to Donate WC if you want. And but congratulations, man. He did over 700 kilometers. And if you Google walk to WordCamp EU, I believe that website will come up as one of the first results. And you can read his pretty much diary of what that includes images and stories of his travels across Europe. And it's pretty cool project. And congrats to him for pulling that off. Next up is, hey, speaking of WordCamp EU, David, you shared this guide by CodinWP, and I was reading through this guide, and it is it's definitely a guide on how to get through WordCamp EU. And this guide covers Contributor Day, the WP Cafe, the main sessions, panel discussions, the workshop for kids, all of the different events and sort of many events that are taking place within the WordCamp EU schedule. It's a cool thing you link to.
It's a big event. It really, I mean, I haven't been to like a WordCamp US or a WordCamp EU yet, but reading through this guide, it makes me go, man, I wish I was there. There's a lot going on. And I can understand how someone attending this event for the first time might feel a little overwhelmed. Yeah, like, whoa, so much stuff going on. Like, how do you even pick? And so this, like you said, walks through kind of piecemeal the different kind of sections, areas, types of content that you can expect, and kind of gives you a little bit of heads up on what you might need to know. And it even has this little like good to know section near the bottom, which I really enjoy, that talks about like, you know, where certain things are and gives a venue map and talks about like t-shirts and stuff like that. Apparently there's a charity drop to donate t-shirts from past WordCamps. So if you don't use your old t-shirts from, you know, WordCamp EU last year, or you want to buy a t-shirt,
that's actually a great idea.
Donate it. That's a great cause. And we can always, I love seeing people wearing WordCamp shirts. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I've acquired some swag over the years. I'd still have it, you know, behind me. I saw a couple of pictures of people bringing in Ziploc baggies that were just filled with stickers and lanyards and all kinds of stuff from WordCamp Save Attendance. That's a great idea. Something I hope to see something like that at WordCamp US. Hopefully they can take that idea and run with it. And at WordCamp EU, they're going to have they're doing yoga. They're going to have quiet sessions. There's going to be childcare, of course, the WordCamp after party. You got contributor day. So usually when you go to these WordCamps, you know, it's 1 or 2 days. You have sessions. Everything is pretty low key. I mean, a couple hundred people, no problem. But when you go to something like WordCamp EU, where you're there's going to be over 2,000 attendees. Same thing with WordCamp US. You need to pre-plan.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're already there and you are going, I have no plan, you've done this wrong. You should have taken the opportunity to read up on what you're getting yourself into and figure out your best selections. And I mean, if you are there and you're confused, I mean, this article on Code NWP is a great resource to kind of help you write your course and get you moving in a good direction.
One of the tips I saw that was shared by Brad Williams for attending large WordCamps like this is that write out three things you want to accomplish and do those three things. And if there's someone you want to meet, immediately go and find them and meet them, because you will be overwhelmed and you will meet all these other people. And before you know it, your opportunity to have accomplished those things is gone. And you're just reflecting on how you got lost in the whole event, which is what occurred to what happened to me at WordCamp US the other year. You know, I had these things I wanted to do and these people I wanted to see. And, you know, I'd see them. I'd be involved in conversations in the hallway, and I might see them walk past me, and I'd figure, well, I'll get to them. And never got to them.
That's rough. For me, the big thing is not necessarily wanting to take up their time, right? I still get that little bit of celebrity kind of thing with some people at these events. And what's really surprising to me, and hopefully anyone who's listening to this who hasn't attended or is going to attend a WordCamp remembers that these people, as much as we kind of, especially back in the old days, put them a little bit on their own little podium and platform. They're
just, oh my God, people. You're a WordPress rock star. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it was a thing. It was a thing. The first time I got to meet Matt Mullenweg, I was a little nervous. So,
Hey, same here. First time I got to meet him was down in Texas WordCamp. It was in Frisco, Texas. I don't know if that was WordCamp Dallas, because it was a suburb of Dallas, so it might have been WordCamp Dallas, but I think this was back in 2008, 2009. They brought him in. He was with his mom. He was with his sister. He had just had wisdom tooth removed, so he was still kind of loopy from the medication, but that was the first time I met him, and I was starstruck. And, you know, at the time – and by the way, Matt Mullenweg being approachable like that, and he was already, in my mind, you know, a very successful person. But for him to, I just sort of looked at it and I said, man, for a guy that's got all these zeros in his bank account, he's so successful and he's leading this WordPress open source project. I said, man, it's pretty awesome to be able to have a one-on-one conversation with a person like that. And to this day, he's the the highest person on whatever celebrity list that I've been able to talk to. And to this day, he's still super approachable and talkable. And it's hard to actually get his attention at these big WordCamp events, because everybody wants at least, you know, 5 or 10 minutes to say hi and thank him for helping to create WordPress and providing these opportunities for so many people to make a living on the software that he helped create. But speaking of that, on one-on-one conversations, Matt is actually doing a office hours this week, starting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The times have already been booked up, but what he did is he's allowing people to book 20-minute sessions with him at WordCamp Europe, where you can have semi-private one-on-one conversations with him about whatever it is you want to talk about. And he's going to have someone there to write down action items or take notes about these conversations. And again, I think that's a really cool idea, and we'll see what comes out of that.
And not the first time he's done this. He's actually had a couple of these office hours.
He's actually done one. It was a virtual one.
Right. Yeah. And I expect him to do some more virtual ones in the future. It came about with a lot of people kind of asking, you know, how do we really get in touch with you? How do we really kind of express our opinions to what's happening in the project? And what a smart move on his part. I, you know, really great way to reconnect with the community and make sure that he is still as much a part of it as leading it.
Yeah, and even if you give him a laundry list of things that you like to see done, or, you know, maybe even demands, even though demands are a very strong word, you know, he may not implement any of it, but he will be there. You will be face to face, and you will know for sure that he listened to you, that he at least took the time out to hear what you had to say. Yeah. And for a lot of people, that's really all they want, is to at least, you know, hear what they have to say. And you don't, you know, the nice thing about that is it's physical. It's you can see facial reactions. You can hear the tone. You can hear all the, you could, it's so much nicer than like a Slack conversation.
I have a feeling that a lot of people that are going to go in there heated when they get into that situation, they realize how in person it is, will probably be like, I'm so happy to meet you. Can I get your autograph? Like, who's going to sit down with Matt and be like, you suck, because like, it's just not going to happen. Right. So yeah, it's a good thing though.
Yeah. I could picture someone going in there, you know, slamming down their desk and say, all right, let's talk about this Gutenberg. It's a little too late for that though. A little too late.
Yeah.
But yeah, good on him for doing these one-on-ones with people. Good stuff. Where can you EU? We keep mentioning the live stream. The link to watch the live stream has not been made public just yet. The live stream link will be made public. I believe the WordCamp Europe official Twitter account will probably tweet it out. It will occur starting on the 21st and the 22nd of June. Now, the nice thing about this live stream is you don't have to register on the website to actually watch it, which you had to do in years past. So once they tweet out the link, you just click it, start watching, and bada bing, bada boom. That's all there is to it.
Do you already have the link? You can tell me. It's okay.
Nope. No, I don't have the link. Nobody does. Nobody does.
And no special access, eh?
No special access. I am not a media partner.
Oh.
I have no idea what's going to happen. But at the beginning, they'll tweet it out, and it'll get retweeted, and everybody will see it on Twitter. Now, something you added from 10 Up, I've actually was reading about this project a little bit earlier today. It's called the Classif AI plugin.
Correct? Yeah, Classify. Yeah. It's a machine learning plugin, or basically it's connected to machine learning, and it allows writers, publishers of content to get a little bit of help. Currently in two different areas, one on classifying their content for categories and tags, and two, to kind of help automatically figure out what images are and write alt tags for them. So I can definitely see how this could be really beneficial long-term in helping people make their sites more friendly for people with vision issues and things like that. But even just, like I said, publishing content on a day-to-day, you need someone to help you make tags for your content. This can do that. You need someone or something to kind of auto-write some of your alt tags for your images. This can help do that. I have no idea yet how perfect or imperfect this system is. And of course, it's going to continue to be developed and refined as things go forward. But the idea that they're using, you know, AI systems like IBM Watson and Microsoft's Azure AI to be able to kind of, you know, look at images and try to figure out what they are, or look at your text and try to figure out what you're trying to talk about. It's exciting to me. I love anything with Watson, man. I'm all about IBM Watson ever since the whole Jeopardy thing. I love the AI that they're working on.
I look back on the Tavern, and 3 years ago, back in 2016, I wrote a plugin that was new at the time that was using Microsoft Azure's AI to do the analyze images and provide automatic alt text.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been around for about 3 years. I imagine it's gotten better since then, hopefully.
Sure, so some of the really things bad.
Well, as everything that starts off as augmented AI or whatever starts off, it always starts off bad, then it learns and then it gets better over time. But apparently the Classify, which I get it now, the whole name, thanks for kind of showing me the light here, but they say that this plugin is going to expand the usage of the computer vision capability for Microsoft Azure AI to include image tagging. And they're also going to use or expand their integrated cloud services to include Google Cloud AI, additional Azure AI and IBM Watson services, TensorFlow, and other emerging technologies. So I think what they're doing is they're creating a plugin that will tie in and use all these various AI and machine learning services, and you'll be able to use them all for just this one plugin, which I think is neat.
Yeah, and it looks like one of the options you have is to set different weights for things, right? To figure out which AI you want used and kind of what thresholds you want to use to be able to determine things. So like if it sits below a certain threshold, then it's not, of course, going to tag that image as dog or whatever if it's not sure. And that makes me really excited too, that they've kind of given you a little bit of that control. Of course, the cynic in me is always questioning, what is 10UP getting out of this?
Come on. There's no cynic. There's no cynic trapping you. Come on.
I hope it. I always think back to, I can't remember who said it, but like, if you're not paying for something like through cash, you're paying through it through some other way, right? Like if you're not paying for it, then you are the product. And I'm always curious about that, right? Because I could see some very interesting opportunities for a company like 10UP or another company to use this data and sell this data to some up and coming companies with big budgets to build out popular websites overnight, right? Same thing with analytics and other tools as well. I'm always trying to think, what's the angle? No one builds something just because. I love the idea. I'm excited about it. I'd be curious to see what kind of like data retention and security policies they have built into this. I noticed that wasn't really discussed in their kind of post on their site. I love stuff with AI, and I'm hoping it'll be very successful, and I'm hoping it'll be very good at what it does, and I'm hoping that it'll let me control my data on my website.
So 10UP says that they have implemented a registration program for Classify, which will allow them to keep adopters apprised of major updates and beta testing opportunities, gather feedback, and prioritize common use cases. Registrants receive a free license key, which enables one-click updates in the WordPress dashboard. So if you visit classifyplugin.com, you can register for that key and get on their email list, and you can also check it out on GitHub. So it's actually available on GitHub if you want to check it out through there, get it through that means as well. Come on, you're no cynic. Get out of here.
Can't help it.
No, I'm going to develop something when you say, why'd you do this, Jeff? And I'm going to tell you, just because. Just because, to prove you wrong.
What data are you taking of mine? Why are you doing this freely?
You'll just have to find out when it's leaked.
Yeah.
Eventually. So last week, there was a bit of a controversy over some gray area text. Not to get too involved in it, but over on the there's a WooCommerce Facebook group that's huge, that I think it's larger than the Advanced WordPress group on Facebook. And a gentleman posted on there of a support instance he was involved with, where somebody from, I believe it was WooCommerce.com, emailed him and said that because he was selling CBD products on their store and because of their certain policies, that they were going to have to disconnect his site from WooCommerce.com or other hosted automatic services because they could not deal with businesses that are selling CBD products like oils and whatnot. And there's this a lot of gray area in terms of, well, can you use WooCommerce to sell CBD products? Can you not? And there's a lot of wishy-washy stuff in the document. Paul Mirarana, I butcher last names all the time, so sorry, Paul. Just referring him to Paul, but he took notice in the conversation, and he said that, I will get with the team. It is not very clear on what we do allow and what we disallow. They've recently updated their policy, and now WooCommerce has clarified their stance on cannabis-derived products. And I'll just read it to you because there's no use in kind of talking about it, but WooCommerce says, yes, you can use WooCommerce for your site. As our software is open source, we do not limit its use. However, while you can use the code of our WooCommerce plugin to sell products derived from cannabis and hemp, you cannot use services offered directly by Automattic to support those stores. This is the case whether the products are over or under 0.3% THC and whether they are derived from hemp or cannabis. Automatic's direct services include, but are not limited to, WordPress.com, WooCommerce.com, and the Jetpack plugin. This means that you can use the open source WooCommerce plugin to sell cannabis-derived products, but you cannot connect your site to automatic servers in WooCommerce, WooCommerce extensions, WooCommerce.com, subscriptions to automatic extension updates, or at WordPress.com. Use WooCommerce services that depend on a Jetpack connection, such as WooCommerce shipping or WooCommerce tax, and host your site on WooCommerce.com. Now, they do have one exception to this, and that is hemp-derived clothing. If you sell clothing made from hemp, these rules don't apply, and you are welcome to use all of the services that Automatic provides. However, hemp-derived clothing is the only product or type of product that you must sell on the store. Now, the document goes on to explain that, you know, even though that a lot of store owners and customers reside in countries where CBD products and other products derived from hemp and cannabis are fully legalized, their production and sale in the U.S., where Automatic is registered, is highly regulated. WooCommerce.com help desk can assist people with your site if you would normally qualify to receive support. You might also receive help from others in the WordPress.org forums or the WooCommerce community. And they go on to talk about the regulations and whatnot. And then they also answer the question, well, is Automatic or WooCommerce.com against CBD products? And they say, no, we are not. These policies exist due to the current legal framework and are not a judgment call on the legitimacy of your business. So what that removes a lot of the gray area that was previously in the document. I think they make it a lot clearer on what to expect and what store owners using WooCommerce can expect to receive in terms of support and what have you. Basically, you can't, if you're selling CBD products using WooCommerce, you can't connect in any way whatsoever to an automatic hosted service, which really what it comes down to. And they'll still provide support for you if you need it. You can't have that connection there.
And how do you feel about that? Reading this, how do you feel about that?
But I think it's, you know, and like they said, it's legal in certain states. It's legal in certain countries. It's not legal in other states. Really, it comes down to the store owner to follow all the rules and regulations as to what they're doing.
Of course.
I for one, think it's I'm glad to see that they clarified that that WooCommerce is open source software, and therefore, I mean, they couldn't do it anyways because of the GPL, but they explicitly say we do not limit its use. So you can use it to sell CBD.
Sure, you can use any crippled piece of software to do anything you want online because, yeah, why not, right? Like this take the whole CBD thing off the table. The fact that it's CBD doesn't matter. Replace CBD with illegal product X. It doesn't matter what the illegal product X is, right? And we're just going to use illegal product as like a blanket statement here because, as they said, CBD is not, you know, a product that you can legally sell in the States currently, or at least federally, right? And in Canada, it's all wishy-washy as well. But the whole CBD thing doesn't matter. The thing that bothers me is this plugin, WooCommerce, has been developed in such a way that it requires these external extensions, these external add-ons, to provide things like, you know, shipping details, tax details, and a bunch of other things.
It's the big deal is the WooCommerce app, which requires I think, WordPress.com connection.
Right. And so you start talking about the fact that you can use WooCommerce, but you can't really use all the features of WooCommerce. And they've built this system in such a way that there are no simple, like, drop-in replacements for a lot of these things. So now you're basically using a product that's been half gutted, and you can, sure, it's open source and you can use that. And sure, you can hire a developer to create all these clones of these tools and options that exist in these, you know, WooCommerce services. But can you imagine how expensive that would be? So they've basically said, you can do whatever you want with the software, except use all of these tools and add-ons and extensions that you need to really be able to run your business using WooCommerce.
And on top of all that, they're utilizing the services and the CPU power of what Jetpack and the infrastructure that WordPress.com provides. And what I've seen and what they've stated in previous, like, State of the Woos, is that the reliance, if they can take advantage of what Jetpack connections to the WordPress.com backend, you know, if they could take advantage of those, they're going to in future versions. So what we're going to end up seeing is possibly even more reliance from WooCommerce on automatic services versus less, which makes this even more of an issue that you're talking about.
Sure. It would be like if you bought a Tesla and you could only buy your electricity from Elon Musk, right? No one else can ever sell you your electricity. Go ahead and buy it. Who would buy the Tesla? No one would buy a Tesla, right? Because you want those choices, you want those options, and to have something that should be amazing be so like software limited or gutted in such a way that you can't really use it to run a business. I mean, come on, this is ridiculous.
And just in general, people who are selling CBD products, I mean, you've got all the regulations you got to worry about, but then you got to worry. I mean, I know Shopify has some regulations. I think they're doing a, not them. I think maybe it was Square. I think Square is doing a small partnership with like 100 different CBD stores to work through some things. But people who are in the CBD space or the whole dispensary or marijuana space, it is super tough right now when the country you're selling in is a country, it's not legalized. So you got to pick and choose your spots, you know, where you're selling, who you're selling to. And then on top of that are your payment processors, who many of them don't want to have anything to do with the risk of these types of products.
Yeah. And again, I don't think we should really kind of hang this too much on the whole CBD discussion, because it could be anything, right? They could turn around tomorrow and say, you know, anyone who's selling, you know, used cell phones that have been repaired, because there's no right to repair law, we can't allow anyone to use any of the, you know, automatic services to sell used cell phones anymore. And they could expand this to whatever niche that they decide is the best to limit their, you know, legal exposure, right? It could be a whole bunch of things. So focusing on the cannabis stuff and the CBD stuff.
Well, I guess what it comes down to is WooCommerce allows you to build and sell things on an e-commerce store. It's a platform, but you can't, if you're going to use services provided by Automatic, you better go read the terms of service and the various other documents to see what other text is in there that says, but you may not use this, or else you cannot use our services.
Yeah. And that could be a deal breaker for a lot of
because people. You could end up having a store, you could build it, you're using this, and now you get a support request saying, we've had to disconnect your store from jetpack.com because we noticed you're selling these type of products, which violates our service. And now that store owner is SOL. They're losing money.
They don't have tax rates. They've lost both of these abilities to actually charge their customers properly. And yeah, you have no real avenue to solve that problem.
As a store owner, I guess the best advice would be do your due diligence and read the terms of service for these sites or for these services that you might be using, just to see if there are any limitations on the products that they say that you're not supposed to sell and not allowed to sell.
Yeah, but today's limitations could be expanded tomorrow. So just be aware of that when you build with WooCommerce, that they've already taken a hard stance on this and they might do it with other things as well.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. Anything else that you want to talk about in the WordPress space or tech in general? I mean, me and John never finish early. You and me, no problem.
It's because we both talk pretty fast. Yeah. No, I think things are going pretty well. I'm looking forward to 5.3. I'm looking forward to seeing kind of other software as a service solutions like the AI one, like Elasticsearch, ElasticPress, .io. I'm really interested in those things. I think that they're a really powerful way to change kind of how WordPress kind of plugs together. I'm also interested to see how the spinoffs are doing. I haven't really checked in with, you know, ClassicPress and some of those other ones lately, and I'm probably going to do another loop on that soon to see how those spinoffs are doing, how those forks are doing.
Yeah, I have not heard from or seen the progress on Classic Press. So I may have to join you there on that trip to see what's going on over there in that fork and how people are enjoying a Gutenlessberg version of WordPress.
Yeah,
let's see. I'm looking forward to what comes out of WordCamp EU. I'm looking forward to seeing what's covered during Matt's presentation on stage. it's going to be interesting watching the WCEU hashtag on Twitter. Everybody, you know, people are going to get FOMO, wish they were there, but you know, there'll be plenty of images and tweets from people that are on the ground. We'll be able to learn some stuff, what announcements will come out of that event. Now, next week will be the 26th, and I've got Dan Maybe scheduled to be on the show. He is the founder of WP and UP, a site that's devoted to wellness and mental health in the WordPress space. So we're going to bring him on to talk about that. And I think he may be attending WordCamp EU. But if not, John should be back in time. He'll give us his take on the city of Berlin and what he encountered there at the event, and shaping up to be a great show next Wednesday. So, by the way, since you're up there in the great country of Canada, I hear that there is a shortage of marijuana. is that still the case?
Last I heard, it is still the case. it's pretty popular here.
Is everybody like chill up there now? I mean, Canadians were chill before, but
yeah.
It seems like you have a reason to be even more chill now.
Honestly, the reports coming out of everything I'm reading is saying that there hasn't really been much of an uptake. Like, it hasn't really changed the average usage at all. Of course. Like, Canadians that were using it are still using it. They're just doing it legally now. So there you go.
Hey, and congrats to your Toronto Raptors. First ever NBA championship for Canada.
Yeah, they scored the field goals really good in the Nets. They did amazing. I don't sport.
Handball, whatever it is. They won. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter for my super interesting health, unhealthy, cheating sometimes journey at JEFFR0. And Mr. Malcolm Peralti.
Yeah, if you want to find me, I'm on Twitter at FindPurpose. And everywhere else is just usually my last name, Peralti, Peralty.com.
And of course, you have PressTitans.com, correct?
Yeah, so we're still working away on that. We're actually in the process of developing a ridiculously huge plugin for WordPress. So that'll be fun. I'll keep you in loop on that.
Oh, so like a cooler version of Jetpack or something?
No, I'll tell you about it after.
So, I mean, that Jetpack, when you said a ridiculously huge plugin, the first thing I thought of was Jetpack. Sorry.
No. Single feature.
Not okay. All right. So that's going to do it, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday afternoon. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, everybody. Say bye, Malcolm.
Bye.